Hello, welcome. I'm Anne Gordon, and today I'm talking Talmud with Yardena Azban. It's the beginning of the new Daf Yomi cycle, and we've caught the fire. A large portion of the Jewish, and especially Orthodox world, is starting learning the entirety of the Talmud today. One folio page, that's a double-sided page, for nearly the next 7.5 years. 2,711 pages. It's daunting. We are intimidated, and we've both been learning Gemara for quite a while. It's as if we're standing at Rosh Hashanah with all the good intentions for the coming year. I figure if you join us in the learning, we just might get there. So a couple of words about what this podcast is and what it is not. What it is not is a review of the words on the daf of the day. There are many ways you can do that, if you want to. There's the original text of the daf. There are English translations and Hebrew translations and Hebrew translations of the English and English of the Hebrew. There are in-person classes and online shiurim. There's a review of the daf in 8 minutes and another in 10 minutes. There are intensive shiurim that delve into the sugyas of each daf. There are shiurim that map out the daf with charts, some of which are excellently clear and with superb pedagogy. If you want a woman taught shiur that reviews the entirety of the text of the daf, Michelle Farber's Daf Yomi for Women is available and growing. That's not what we're doing here. We're here to have a conversation and to engage you in conversation. Behind the scenes, Yardena and I are learning the daf of the day. And then we're meeting via the wonders of technology, may they work, to converse about what we've learned. We're talking Talmud to bring you a thought, an idea, a point to ponder that we found in the day's daf. We believe that the Gemara can be accessible and that there is always something interesting to find. We're talking Talmud because we know the Gemara to be the foundational text of Jewish life. Torah Shebaal Peh is what makes Jews Jews, different from other peoples of the book. And that's what it is according to Rav Moshe of Kutzi in his introduction to the Smag, Sefer Mitzvah Gadol. It is a quintessentially Jewish, and the claim of Hafach Bat V'Hafach Bat Kulaba, turn it and turn it, for it contains everything in it. Never mind that it said about Chumash, it is exactly what we're doing. And we're talking Talmud, as I indicated to begin with, to keep ourselves, or me anyway, honest. I want to learn Daf Yomi. And I know that the single best darban, the cattle prod, if you want the elegant translation, or motivation to prevent myself from falling behind, is engaging with the text with Yardena and all of you. Join us.
Hi, Anne. I'm so excited to be here.
I'm excited too. I have to tell you, Yardena, in addition to all the preparation that we have done for this podcast, I have just come home from the Hadron in Jerusalem that was organized by Michelle Farber and others to celebrate the siyum of Shas, of the Shas, of the Daf Yomi of the past 7.5 years. It was a tremendous event. There were 3,300 women, and more people wanted tickets than there were seats in the auditorium.
So I was watching from afar in America. In case people who are listening to us, which I hope they are, Anne is in Israel and Jerusalem. I'm in New York. And I really, today was one of those days where just my heart, my mind, my soul, everything was in Jerusalem. I feel very proud that my daughter was there to represent my family. This morning we finished learning a daf together so we could participate in the Siyum, Bava Metzia. And it's just amazing to think about where we have come from, that Sarah Schneier, I think, gave her first class a little over 100 years ago. And now there was an auditorium in Jerusalem filled with 3,300 people, mostly women, celebrating a Siyum HaShas together.
I'll tell you, someone asked me at the beginning of the night, someone said to me, so are you in the emotional camp or the not emotional camp? And I said, no, not the emotional camp. I'm enjoying seeing the people that I know, because really, I knew a lot of people in that ulam. And then the lights dimmed and they put up a video, which is the very beginning of the program. And I sent her a very quick email that said, okay, now I'm in the emotional camp. Boom. Because it was so powerful. So many women gathered together to celebrate Torah. It was about women learning, but it was really about the learning of the Torah. It was so impressive. And as Rachel Frankel, she was the MC there, she said, yes, we have an agenda. Our agenda is to increase the learning of Torah. So Yardena, I'm very glad to join with you in that enterprise.
I am too. You and I have talked to her together for a long time. We've known each other for many years. And I was solidly in the emotional camp. I think I was crying at every picture I looked at today. Really? Solidly in the emotional camp.
Okay, so shall we begin? Shall
yes,
we start?
Let's begin. Yes.
So today, beyond our introduction, brachot, daf bet.
Yes. Okay. What was our takeaway? What do we want to think about? I had a thought on this daf, which is something that's always struck me. And it's actually more in the Mishnah and not so much on the Gemara piece that comes afterwards. But I think it's good to focus on the Mishnah because I sometimes feel like the Mishnah gets overlooked when we learn Talmud. And I, encourage people, if maybe daf yomi isn't for you, even just do, Mishnah Yomi, pick like one or two Mishnahs to learn every day and you will learn a tremendous amount. So as we know, the Mishnah begins with talking about the times of when we say Shema at night, right? The very famous Me'emetai Koren at Shema Ba'arvin. And it gives this answer of Mishah Shel Kohanim Nichnasim Lachol B'Trumatan, from the time that the Kohanim would go in to eat their Truma. And the Gemara will spend some time trying to figure out exactly what time it is and why does the Mishnah sort of say it that way instead of just saying Seda Kochavim, which is an actual time. But I want to draw our attention to the next part of the Mishnah, which is talking about until when can you say Shema at that time. And the Chachamim say it's Tol Chatzot. And then Rabbi Gamliel swoops in and he says, no, it's actually until Ya'ala Amud HaShachar. It's actually until dawn. And then Rabbi Gamliel goes on to explain, and this is told through a story with some of his children come to him after wedding and they say, hey, we didn't actually say Shema. What are we supposed to do? And he basically says that the Chachamim said that it was until Chatzot because they wanted to make sure that people were going to say it. But any of these halachot or times that are given where it says Til Chatzot, really those are mitzvot that could actually be done until dawn, until Amud HaShachar. And I've always been taken by this Mishnah because it's interesting to me that essentially what the Mishnah is acknowledging is the halacha is actually really one way, but Chazal has to come in and change it because is it that we don't trust humans? Is that we know what the nature of time is really like for humans? And we have to almost put up a geder or like a block to say, no, we're really actually only going to give you until Chatzot to make sure that you actually fulfill the mitzvah the way that it did, because we don't want the night to get away with you. And it's also interesting thing about, because I think we all know, especially when we were in college and I used to actually stay up all night, how nights do actually get away from you. That it can be 1, 2, 3 in the morning and you're like, wow, where did my night go? So I think the Chachamim were onto something in human nature, but is this saying something good about people or something bad about people, or is it actually not a judgment and it's more just sort of fact about people?
I find this to be very much a fact about people. I think that there are certainly people out there who don't need that fence, who don't need that protective gather. But for the rest of us, I think the idea that we want ourselves to be the best that we can be, and so we put precautions in place to make sure that we don't cross that line. I think that this is very wise. And I appreciate that Chazal have done this. And I think that we implement it almost naturally now, right? In the way we think about how we do things. It's not beyond my comprehension, let's put it that way, that this is the way Shas opens, that this is the beginning of the Gemara, that where it directly addresses a daily life kind of thing or an esoteric kind of thing in a daily life kind of way.
Yeah, that's a great way to say it. And I think it also is interesting that the first Mishnah is really dealing with sort of almost the power of Chazal, like the ability of Chazal to come and say, hey, we're going to actually change what the real halacha is. And Rabban Gamliel is sort of illustrating that and telling that in the story that's given about, that where his children come to him and say, we forgot to say Kriyat Shema, it's Pat Chatzot, can we actually still say it? And he says, yes, of course you can. You actually have Til Amud HaShachar.
Right. Right. Yes. And that can lead us into a whole discussion of methodology that we're not going to go into in terms of when are Chazal elaborating on the halakha and when are they establishing the halakha?
Right. A whole other question. And I think something for those of us who are starting the daf, or again, even just learning Mishnah, something to pay attention to. What is Chazal's methodology? Are they establishing, or sometimes are they just giving over a reflection of what they're seeing in their time and have to support a halacha in that way? And here it seems to be that they're trying to protect something, protect the mitzvah by making sure that people fulfill it.
Great. Now, I have a question for our listeners as follows, because it goes, let's go on in the daf, right? And again, we're not going to recount the whole, all of what follows, but a thought that comes out of what follows is the following. Okay, that's too many following. You got me. Our Gemara makes ritual, namely the recitation of Kriyat Shema, dependent on realia, namely actual practice. This is what you're exactly saying of what are people doing. This time, it's about the time, right, the earlier time of when do people begin saying Shema. It's at the time that the Kohanim would go to purify themselves to be able to eat Kinya. And then the Gemara says, well, maybe it's really from the time that the poor people would go sit down to eat their bread. And now we're conflating issues, right? We're conflating the officially spiritual, namely the purification of the Kohanim, with the most mundane act of a poor person eating bread. And now that raises for me all kinds of questions of realia. What is real time? Were they at the same time? The Gemara reaches a conclusion about that. But again, it's about what is going on here in terms of our establishing the rules of the beginning of the time of saying Kriyat Shema. And my question is more fundamental at some point, at some level. Well, why is it that what people are doing, meaning whether it's the Kohanim or the poor people, why is it that what the people did, the way we define our evening time for reciting Shema, how mundane is our spiritual practice?
That's a really good observation and a really good question. So first of all, I love that the Gemara does exactly that, that it takes sort of like what we would consider to be the highest spiritual level of talking about an activity, the Kohanim, and then quoting another source that's going to say, no, it's actually the time of when poor people would sit down to eat. Is that saying in a way that time is valuable for everybody and it's just different days, ways of looking at?
There's our DAF discussion for the day. Please subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. And until tomorrow, go and learn.
Thanks, everyone. We love learning and hearing from you. Until tomorrow's DAF.